How did this football thing come about for women?
History lesson. Actually, women's football started in 1930 as what you would say a league, but it only had two teams in it at that time. It started in a little Midwest town in where I'm from, Toledo, Ohio. So not only do I coach in Toledo, but I coach where the original women football teams have come from. In 1930 and 31, they had two teams, one on one side of Toledo and one on the other side of Toledo. So some guy thought they could, you know, try out and see what would happen with, if he had two teams of women playing football, what would happen? So he had an exhibition game, and what happened was he made hand over fist money. Went very well. So what he did is he went around in the whole Midwest doing exhibition games with these two teams from Toledo, Ohio. It came to a screeching halt when there was going to be a game played at the University of Detroit. Not loud enough that I'm not focused, boys?
No.
Can you hear me now? Yes. Anyway, what happened was the first lady, Hoover, got wind of the two teams playing women's football and what they were doing. So she sent a scathing letter over to the University of Detroit and to the two owners of the two teams and said, to make a long story short, quit exploiting women. So they stopped playing football in 1931, and there wasn't another team until 1971, which, by the way, I started in 73, not 79.
I've learned, never tell a woman's age.
A guy by the name of Sid Friedman out of Cleveland, he was a talent agent scout, and he thought that guy back in the 30s had an idea. What happens if I do this? So he took a team, not two teams from Toledo, Ohio, but he took a team out of Cleveland and a team out of Toledo, and played an exhibition game at Baltimore University in Cleveland. Cleveland, at that time, was called the USA Daredevils, against that time, the Toledo Troopers. Cleveland beat Toledo that exhibition game. But that guy, Sid Friedman, just like the guy in 1930, made a lot of money on that exhibition game. So he got another team in Buffalo, another team in Columbus, and a team in Detroit, and he just continued and made what we know as the NWFL. And got a schedule out, and Toledo ended up never losing a game after that exhibition game, not until 1976 when they went to Oklahoma City in August of 76 and went up against number 45, Frankie Neal, I'll never forget. Amazon, she was 5 foot 11, 245 pounds of beast. That was their fullback. And I was a little 145-pound right guard and defense back. We lost 14-8, and that was the first loss that Toledo ever had. They came back for the championship game at the University of Toledo, December 11th. I will never forget that day. It was 19 degrees. There was snow on all sides of the field, and we won 13-12. In Toledo, it does have a history that a lot of people don't know about. Toledo being the original place of women's football. It also had the world champion Toledo Troopers that existed 9 years and lost four games. Seven-time world champions in a row. Toledo then had a team called the Toledo Furies that started out in 1983, had a team in 1984 with just 18 players on that team and won the world championship. Their center is my offensive coordinator. And they existed, the Furies existed from 83 to 89, and from 83 to 89, excluding 1984, they always won or went to the championship game and lost. So we are all second runner-up. So that's why, you know, I'm a five-time world champion and played in 12 championship games, and 7 of them were runner-up. That's okay. That's a little bit of history of women's football. Today I see a difference of what it used to be like. And as far as the future, when I tell you the story, and I need to stand up, I don't sit very long. Being in the military, I'm an instructor, and I stand in front of my troops, so I apologize. What happens today as opposed to what happened in yesteryear? The one thing I see, and I want to give you a footnote, that this does not pertain to everyone. It pertains to a lot of people, players, coaches, owners, but not everyone. So if I say something, do not take anything personal. This is what Coach Mitchy Collette perceives today, as opposed to the 70s and the 80s. What I see today is, what's in it for me? I see some players, what's in it for me? Some coaches, what's in it for me? Even owners, what's in it for me? What I see today is not like what it used to be. Where's the professionalism? Let me put it just this way. I played when pride mattered. I played 5 days a week, was practice, 3 hours a night. It's probably why we were world champions. But we had to come to practice because we wanted to play. Because we wanted that trophy. I see today, I've watched the IWFL, I watched the NWFA, the WPFL. I've seen games all over this United States, and I've seen, not all games, but I've seen players not only having to play against the other team, but players having to play against the officials. And coaches, they're playing against the coaches. I have never seen back in the day, never. And I'll tell you what, Toledo and Detroit, there was no love lost back in the 70s. I don't know what you people think about in the West Coast, but back over in the Midwest, oh, you're either Ohio State or you're Michigan, man. There is no love lost, and that was just like Toledo and Detroit. But you would never hear, take your knees out by a coach, like I have in the past few years. And they would use profanity, take your effing knees out. You could hear that in the next county. It's like, what? You're playing against coaches, you're playing against the officials, and sometimes you're playing against the staff. And I don't consider that football. Like I said, this isn't for everyone. I have seen this on teams. And this is what upsets me. I'm going to give you a story of what it was like back in 1970s. It was our first game that season. I don't remember which year it was. I think it was either my third or fourth year. Our first game, we had a few rookies, like 6 or 7 of them on our team. My coach, you got to understand my coach. He didn't want any more than 25 players on his roster. I don't care, just 25. Here we're on the field and we're playing against, I think it was Columbus. The whole first half, my coach is screaming at us, at the officials, at everybody. I thought he was going to blow a gasket. He was screaming. Halftime, we get into the locker room
And he's still screaming, excuse my language, but this is exactly what he said. You look like shit. You people look like shit. Gloria Jimenez, number 71, her all-star defensive tackle, looks up from her helmet and says, but coach, we're winning 40-0. He looked at all of us and says, but you look like shit doing it. And you got to understand my coach. My coach did not coach football. My coach coached perfection. If you had any more than three, at the very most, penalties for a whole game, you would pray to God that you live through practice next week. That was my coach. After that game, you know, we beat him pretty good, but after that game, he high-fived him again, good game, but my coach was on the sideline screaming at our officials. Screaming at our officials. How do you expect me to teach my team to be perfect when you can't flag them when they should be flagged? It was true. Now I have to spend, instead of the whole week preparing for my next game, I have to spend the whole week taking the bad habits that you gave my team out of their system. That's how it was all over. People play with pride, people play perfect, people play because they wanted to be a football player, professional football player. I understand you guys, oh, by the way, now I understand my coach. I didn't understand why he fired our whole officiating crew. I had fired a crew member on my team, on my crew. Well, I wasn't a coach. Because I hated him when I was a player. But now I understand and I have all the respect in the world. But nowadays it's like, what's in it for me? Instead of a coach playing for pride, an owner playing for pride, not teaching some players to get away with the stuff that they do. It was, my coach was also the commissioner of the league. We had a Tom Baker rule. He made sure, because he made us so perfect, he made sure, he owned 8 of the 13 teams, by the way, in the United States. And then they paid him off, I guess. But he made sure that every team put a professional team on the field, is my basic point. He made sure that Buffalo had a professional team, that Detroit had a professional team, that Cleveland, Columbus, and everybody else that we played, even Oklahoma City, had put a team on the field that makes the fans come back to watch. And that's what we got to do, is put a game on that field between two teams and make the fans come back and see some more. They don't want to see, take your freaking knees out. They don't want to see, and I know it's a fashion, but they don't want to see coaches with their pants down to their, past their knees, their ankles, and their crotch down to their knees. They don't want to see their shirts hanging down here either. Not one of my coaches do that. I don't care. You're not back on the block. You're on my field. You will dress professionally. My players will dress professionally. They will act professionally on the field and off the field. And you go up to your fans and thank you for coming and watching us play. You do that. You make the fans want to come back. You don't want to see back on the block coaches screaming profanity. You don't want to see a lopsided game because you're playing against the officials. Nobody wants to see that. Make people today, owners, coaches, even players, you got to make sure that your officials are on check too. Coaches got to make sure your players are on check. Staff got to make your coaches in check. If you put a professional game out there on that field and get your fans out there to see a professional game today, which is the future, you'll have the 8,200 people that watched us play. You guys speak about, oh, we had 100, 200 people come to our games. That's how many people came and watched us practice during the week. I don't get it. I don't have an answer, but the only thing I can tell you guys is if you put a professional sport on a field, be it soccer or baseball or anything like that, and be professional, you'll have the fans to follow. And it starts from the top down to the water guy. All right? The future's all up to you. Owners, players, coaches, on how you dress, how you act, and what you put on the field. That's what's going on. That's in a nutshell.